Hello, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel, you are the world champion! You are the man!
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the Constructors. Thank you. Well done.
I just want to say a massive thank you to all of our loyal supporters of our podcast. So keep listening for future really cool stuff.
Hello and welcome to the Red Bull Racing Podcast. And on only its fourth season on the calendar, Abu Dhabi already feels like a firm Formula One favourite. Being the most futuristic track on the calendar and the sport's first twilight race means there's always magic in the air when the teams go head-to-head in Abu Dhabi. The track itself was designed with racing in mind, as well as the waterside marina area. There are high-speed sections, tight corners for overtaking, and even a twisty street circuit-style sector. Overall, its diverse elements come together to create one of the longest and most demanding tracks in the world, where close and competitive racing is guaranteed. This is another anti-clockwise circuit, and that puts more strain on the driver's neck muscles. There are 25 turns on its 5.554-kilometre lap. The race is 55 laps. That's a distance of 305.355 kilometres. The race here today was a day full of changing fortunes and ups and downs. Sebastian Vettel bounced back from demotion to the back of the Yas Marina grid to roar to third place in an Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, which was won by Lotus's Kimi Räikkönen. After recording a third fastest time in qualifying Saturday, Sebastian's car was found to have infringed fuel sample level rules, with the result that he started from the pit lane. The penalty left the defending champion with a mountain to climb in the race, but climb it he did, and it was from pit lane to podium for our man as he battled through the field and finished behind Kimi and Alonso in third. Here he is after the race.
A crazy race. I don't know where to start, but usually it's hard enough to, you know, find your way once through the field, but we had to do it twice. During the safety car first one, obviously we were already in quite a good position, but I was surprised by Daniel's move. He slowed down a lot, hit the brakes very hard, and I got caught out. Maybe I should have been a bit more aware, paying more attention, and had no choice to avoid him than running to the right. And right there was this stupid DRS board, which I hit flat on, or straight on, so finally managed to damage the front wing enough to pit, which was not very good at that moment, because we came out very dead last. But from then onwards, obviously, we knew, you know, it's either everything or nothing, and we were pushing. The pace was there, and it was a very good race for us. I had a lot of fun with the second safety car, obviously it was helping. I knew I was on the soft tyres in the end, and the target was even to win the race, you know. It was only three cars ahead. Unfortunately, I didn't get through Jensen as quickly as I, you know, did through other cars previously, but obviously he had much more pace and made it very difficult, so he defended himself very well. Finally made it. It was very close, but I saw the gap, and he behaved very, very fair. You can't do that kind of move with all the drivers, so it was a lot of fun out there today, and all in all, a great result for us.
It was a less successful afternoon for Mark. He endured a torrid race in which he tangled with Pastor Maldonado in a battle for fourth and was knocked out of the race on lap 38 when he collided with Romain Grosjean following a clash in which Sergio Perez tried to pass both the Frenchman and Force India's Paul de Resta. Here's what Mark had to say afterwards.
Yeah, very disappointing day. I had a lot of promise going into the race after a very good qualifying, and I had a difficult start. So then on the back foot a little bit in the first stint, and then we're just marking people. I think the pace of the car, you know, we're looking after the tyres pretty early in that stint, and then we're just getting to finish that stint as best possible. And there was a safety car. I had a good go at Fernando on the restart, and that was all nice and hard and fair. And then we both come along to Maldonado, and I tried to pass Maldonado in turn 11, and we made contact, and I spun, so I had to rejoin the race. I then was back in traffic, and it just went from bad to worse, really. We then pitted back into further traffic because we had to cover off other people. And ultimately the race was finished with an incident which involved Sergio Perez and Roman Grosjean. They made contact with each other. I was completely on the inside of the circuit and I thought, you know, I was leaving enough room to the complete inside, but I had absolutely no idea that Sergio had spun on that far side. I cannot see that side, and I thought I was just leaving enough room for me to drive down the inside, but Roman was trying to miss the spinning car and kept coming across to the left, and there was no chance for us to miss each other. So that was the end of the race. So yeah, disappointing to not capitalise on the strong results that we've had in the last few events with the strong qualifying, but I'm looking forward to going to America.
It was an action-packed race from start to finish. David Coulthard had a fantastic view of the whole thing from his BBC commentary box. Laura spoke to him after the race.
So DC, talk us through that race we just saw.
Well, I think I'll go down as, well, unquestionably the best race we've seen in Abu Dhabi. It'll be up there with the all-time action-packed races, incident at the start, incidents with safety cars, drivers seemingly expecting the competition to make their cars invisible, lots of silly little incidents. But I think what stands out, of course, is the remarkable comeback from Sebastian from start through to finishing on the podium. You have to say his main championship contender, Fernando Alonso, put in a brave battle to second place. And Kimi Raikkonen didn't want to be disturbed by the team as they spoke to him on the radio, and he coolly controlled that race faultlessly to have his first victory since he retired from Ferrari in 2009.
Where does the Yas Marina circuit sit in your ranking of Formula One circuits?
I think in terms of the facilities, this has to be one of the best all-round facilities in the world, because you have all the hotels close to the track, you have a harbour, you have, you know, everything that you could possibly need here in terms of restaurants and clubs and pubs and that side of things. And actually, given it's only 5 years old, it doesn't feel like a new venue. It doesn't feel like it's been built artificially on a little dusty island. It's not the best racetrack, and we did see a lot of overtaking down into turn 11. They haven't built a grandstand there because they didn't think anyone would, but they have a double DRS on the circuit, and yeah, it's a lot of hype and energy about this place.
And looking ahead, we've got the young driver test next week. Which racing category would you like to be testing for if you were starting out again? Would it still be Formula One, or would it be something like motocross or something different?
Well, actually I started with motorbikes and broke my collarbone, and my mother decided that was not to her liking, so I went into four wheels, into karting. So, you know, all of my brother and my sister, they all had motorbikes, and we played in the field beside the house, and then eventually went on track racing. So I enjoyed my journey through karting, through the lower formulas towards Formula One. So I don't think I'd want to change too much.
And you've actually just given the game away there, because we're going to go back to the game we played last week. And I don't know if you remember the three things you said, but one of them was that you speak German.
Yeah.
One that's you're not quite 6 foot, but you always say you are.
Yeah.
And the other one was that you started out in motocross but broke so many bones that you decided to swap to Formula One. So we know one of them's true.
Yeah.
How did the other two work out?
Well, technically I speak a few words of German, so I guess and suspect that doesn't constitute speaking the language, but I can order a beer and apologise and say hello and all that sort of thing. And what did I say the other thing was? It must have been a lie, I can't remember.
That you're not quite 6 foot, but always say you are.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not quite 6 foot. I am in my heels, though.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And you really do look good in a pair of heels, David. Strategy always plays a huge part in a Grand Prix like today's. After the race, Katie went and found our head of strategy, Will Courtney, to see how busy his day was.
So, Will, it was quite an unusual approach to this race, I'm sure, for you, because Sebastian was starting in the pit lane. How does that affect strategy planning?
Well, for this race, we obviously had the choice of either starting at the back of the grid or starting from the pit lane. Giving us the pit lane gave us the opportunity to change a few of the bits and pieces on the car, like the ratios, to set us up better for trying to overtake our way back through the field. Obviously, starting on the grid gives you the opportunity of trying to make some places up at the start, whereas starting in the pit lane, you're probably spending a whole lap just catching back up with the field. But we looked at some analysis last night, ran some simulations, talked to the driver, and we all felt that starting from the pit lane was the better choice, give us a better opportunity to try and overtake in the race, and I think it paid dividends today.
And is it as basic as when you're starting at the back, you just have to drive as fast as possible and overtake as many people as possible?
Pretty much. I think, you know, obviously if we're qualifying up front, we're trying to strike a balance between qualifying pace and race pace, whereas when you're that far back in the field, you're going to have very little time in free air, so you just want to make your car as quick as possible in a straight line, give yourself the best chance to overtake the cars ahead. The quicker you can overtake the other cars, the quicker you'll progress through the field.
And how busy are you during a race?
it varies an awful lot depending on the race. So India was a one-stop race, and that was relatively calm for me. This race obviously is a bit more going on. Mark and Sebastian on quite different strategies from where they were, but some of the races we had earlier this year or last year when we were doing three stops and four stops, that's extremely busy.
And what happens when a safety car comes out? How does that affect things?
With Sebastian, obviously we hadn't intended to pit during that first safety car. It was only because of the damage to the front wing that forced us to come in and change the wing, and we took the chance to change the tyres as well onto the option, which was a little bit quicker than the prime. But we try and make sure we've got all our decisions made in advance, so that if the safety car does come out, we already know what we're going to do, and everyone just follows the procedure from there.
And is it harder for you or easier for you starting from the back of the field?
I have to say the easiest races for me are the ones where we qualify in pole and drive off away from everybody else, but sadly we can't do that every race. I mean, I think they're the easiest ones, but the most fun and most rewarding ones are races like this, where with Seb you can use the strategy and the driver's driving well and the car's performing well and it all comes together and you feel you've actually got a huge amount out of it and a lot more than you expected.
And what's your favourite race?
I think it's hard to say. Australia, Canada, Monaco, you know, all the ones I'm sure everyone else says, but they're all great fun. So and any race we win is always special.
The Young Driver Test takes place here in Abu Dhabi next week. Laura spoke to Red Bull Junior driver Da Costa to see if he's ready for it.
So I'm joined by Red Bull Junior driver Antonio Felix Da Costa. Antonio, you're taking part in the Young Driver Test here in Abu Dhabi next week, but you're also here with us for the race weekend. Do you think that will be helpful in preparing for next week's test? And if so, in what ways?
Oh, I'm sure, you know, it's always good to try and get a head start as much as you can for an important test like this. And to be here with the team, you know, understand the way things are done, understand the way driver communicates with the team and vice versa. There's a lot going on when the drivers are on track and out of the track, so for sure it's been a really good experience to be here these few days.
And looking ahead to next week then, you must be looking forward to understanding the RB8 on track now that you've experienced driving the RB6 and the RB7 during our show runs. How different are you expecting the RB8 to behave?
Well, it's going to be a hard one to compare, to be honest. I haven't run any of the other cars properly, as they were always on show tyres, and one of them was, I didn't go in the RB7 in Korea, I was not higher than third gear, and there was speed bumps on the road, so it's going to be hard to make a directly comparison, but both of them are world championship winning cars, and hopefully this one can be as well, and that's what I'm here for, try and help the team for these last couple of races.
And then how do you think Formula 1 will differ from other formulas that you've raced in?
To be honest, this was the first time I'm following a weekend from Wednesday to Sunday in a Formula 1 team, and as the big team like Red Bull, you know, so I was expecting it to, obviously the quantity of people who come to a race, to a Grand Prix is much higher, you know. We don't normally, in World Series or in the junior categories, we don't bring any more than 25 people. You know, this for me is the biggest difference, but in the end, the way things are done, it's not so different. But again, it's been a good chance for me to come here and see, you know, you have a guy, you have a person to help you in every aspect of the car. If you have a question, you need to go to someone. If you have a different question, you go to someone else. And sometimes this doesn't happen with us, but again, it's a life-gaining experience for sure.
And then in terms of training for the test, are there any specific areas of the body that you've had to put extra work in on in preparation?
I normally suffer a little bit on my lower back. So I've been focusing a little bit on that, and obviously my neck. Luckily this track is not too hard on your neck, there's only two or three fast corners, but you have a lot of heavy braking, so the neck is going to suffer a little bit, but I think I've been racing basically every weekend, so that's the best training you can have.
And then finally, we saw you on a track walk and we saw you looking at it again with Sebastian Buemi on Thursday. Having been out and experienced on foot, are there any areas that you're specifically excited about?
I think for me the first sector of this track, so from turn 1 until turn 7, is really, really cool. You know, you have a lot of fast corners, quick change of direction corners, so I think that's the most exciting bit of this track, really.
You actually showed us a photograph of that, didn't you, because you captured it as the car was going through.
Yeah, I was watching on track during free practice too. You know, there's some tricky corners here, you can have some different lines, and I took a nice photo.
You have to put that on Twitter for us.
I will do.
Okay, well, we wish you lots of luck with the test and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Cool.
As we've mentioned, the Yas Marina track is fast becoming a driver favourite, even more so after tonight's race. Laura spoke to our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, to see what he makes of it.
OK, so Sebastian, you were doing hot laps around the circuit here at Yas Marina yesterday. How was that?
That was great. obviously we don't have the chance to do those kind of hot laps really often, so it was good after Hockenheim to be back, you know, and doing some hot laps with some clients and people from Infinity. I really enjoyed, especially on this circuit. It's a beautiful circuit, you know. It was in the evening, and with the light, it was just a good thing to do.
And do you think your passengers would ride with you again?
I think they were quite happy, you know, and they enjoyed it. I just think, you know, the fact to be around this circuit is already something really special, and then to be passenger, and when you can push the car the limit, you know, there is a lot of runoff, so still it's great to be pushing here, and the first section with the really high speed corner, that was definitely great, and I think the people really enjoyed it.
And how have you been coping with the heat here in Abu Dhabi?
Actually this year as a reserve driver, you know, I did not drive, so I was quite fine with the heat, you know, but if you are driving, it's a lot more difficult, and you need to prepare yourself properly, drinking a lot and eating at the right time, the right things that can make a big difference then when you approach the end of the race.
What's next for you after Abu Dhabi?
I'll be flying back home tonight, back to Europe, and then I'll have a few days off, and then on the Tuesday next week I'll fly back to Austin, so just a few days, you know, to recover a little bit, and we had quite an intense few weeks now, and I had some show runs in the middle, so I'm quite looking forward to have a few days, you know, just to relax and train, and you know, just enjoy.
And looking ahead to Austin, if you had to name three things that you were most excited about for going there, what would they be?
I think in general it's to be back in the States, you know. I've been only twice in my life, and I'm definitely looking forward to that, and then clearly the circuit, it's going to be a fantastic circuit. I've done it on the simulator, and the first corner is pretty impressive, so I'd like to see it in real life to see if it's as impressive as in the simulator, and just to discover the city, you know. I've heard a lot of good things about Austin. It's a really young city, and I think the circuit is not far away from the city. We'll be staying in the city, so it's going
to
be good.
And then just to recap on last race's podcast where we played that game, and you told us two truths about yourself and one lie. Can you remember what they were?
It was something about my cat, the Italian passport, and the swimming synchronized champion, yeah.
So can you tell us which were truths and which one was the lie?
Yes, I have a cat, and it's named Pepita, so that was the truth. I also have an Italian passport, so not so many people know about it, but yes, I have one. And obviously I was never a champion in swimming synchronized stuff like what I invented in India.
That's very insightful. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, overall, a very positive weekend for the team. Katie spoke to Christian Horner after the race to see how his nerves were after such an action-packed race.
Christian, you said before the race that you would be pleased if you got one point with Sebastian, so you must be more than a bit pleased now.
Yeah, absolutely delighted with his recovery. I mean, to have go from the pit lane to the podium is a remarkable recovery and something we couldn't even dream of, you know, yesterday. And especially after all the drama early in the race, he damaged the front wing on the first couple of laps with Bruno Senna, and then he finished it off behind the pace car, and then we had to adopt our strategy and change the wing, and from there he drove the simply brilliant race.
And what did you think when he had to come in and change the wing? Did you think that it was all over, all the hard work he'd done?
I thought, well, you know, we've gone to the back again, so for the second time we're then at the back of the field, but he got his head down and he focused and just attacked every lap and gave it everything he could.
And what did he say to you after the race?
Well, he said to me before the race, yeah, I went into his room to say good luck. He was playing on his drum kit.
The journalists are asking about the drum kit. Is it, what was it? What was the drum kit?
An electronic drum kit. And said, see you on the podium. And I thought, well, that's confidence. I certainly didn't share that confidence. You know, I would have been happy for points going into the race. He delivered on that confidence, and you know, his move on Jensen at the end of the race there was, I think, overtake of the weekend.
And how's Mark doing?
Well, Mark's obviously a bit down at the moment. It's not been a great day for him. You know, a couple of incidents. The race didn't get off to a good start, literally. And from that point onwards, he was a bit on the back foot. He was going with Fernando. He got good pace. Fernando passed Maldonado. Mark went to pass him, got tangled up, and then had another incident later on with Massa, and then got eliminated by somebody else's accident, you know, later on. So it was nothing seemed to go Mark's way today, and you know, obviously he was a bit reflective afterwards, but you know, he'll bounce back at the next race.
And it's been quite a weekend this weekend. Are you flying home tonight?
What time is it? It's 10:30 now, and I leave Abu Dhabi in 4 hours. So
and then back in the office tomorrow.
Straight into the factory and into dealing with the build-up for Austin.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Red Bull Racing Podcast. The result here means Seb leads Alonso by 10 points in the Drivers' Championship with just 2 races to go. If you'd like to tweet us, please get involved. It's at Red Bull Racing, or through the website redbullracing.com, where you can also get all the latest team news and look at the pictures from the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. We're back in 2 weeks' time for the penultimate race of the season and the very first United States Grand Prix in Austin. Until then, take care.